Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SCARS, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SCARS organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SCARS server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Whiskey 8 Mike Whiskey, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they've checked in. Information regarding our operation may be found at www.scarsvoip.com. You have many net controls this evening. I'm merely opening it up. My call is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. My name is Kathleen. I'm located in the city of Port St. Lucie, Florida, where I believe we have a temperature still there in the 90s. So prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time. If so, I ask you to come aboard. All right, no emergency traffic. That's always a great thing. How about anyone celebrating a birthday, maybe today, maybe last week, maybe this upcoming week, that would like to come aboard so we could say happy, happy? Okay, no birthdays. It means none of us are getting any older. This is the monthly Thursday informational net open forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. Now, I want to advise all stations connected that this net is being recorded for future presentation on our website. So if you've connected this evening, if you've talked, you will be part of that recording. So once again, the topic tonight is the rise of off-grid mesh communications. I hope that you'll ask questions of those speakers, and I hope that you enjoy. So with that, I'm going to throw it over to you, Dave. GW8 Sierra Zulu Lima, are you ready to take over? And thanks for allowing me to do the preamble this evening.
K6SUN from GW8SNL, and thank you very much for doing the preamble. It's actually fantastic, and thank you for taking the time out to do it. Really do appreciate it. Okay, this is GW8SNL. My name's Dave. I'm located in Newport, South Wales. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the South Coast Amateur Radio Service, VOIP Network's Thursday Information Net. The purpose of the Thursday Information Net is to provide an opportunity for members and listeners to learn about a wide variety of topics related to amateur radio, communications technology, emergency preparedness, and many other topics of interest. And as Kathy has mentioned, tonight's presentation is all about the rise of off-grid mesh communications. Over the past few years, these technologies have attracted significant interest from amateur radio operators, technology enthusiasts, emergency communications groups, outdoor adventurers, and many others who are interested in creating communications networks that can operate independently of traditional infrastructure. During tonight's presentation, we'll explore the technology behind these systems, examine how they work, discuss their strengths and limitations, compare the mesh tactic and mesh core platforms, and consider what they may mean for the future of community-based communications. As always, there will be opportunities for questions and comments at designated points throughout the presentation, and we encourage participation from everybody listening this evening. And now, without further delay, we will begin tonight's SCARS VOIP Thursday Information Net. So sit back and enjoy the program, and we will get things underway by bringing in our first narrator, and that is Declan, 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel, the kind young ham, who is with me here in Newport, South Wales in the UK. 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel from GWA-NL. Go ahead, Declan.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this month's Scars Thursday Information Next. Tonight, we are going to be exploring a subject that has generated a considerable amount of discussion throughout the amateur radio community and far beyond it. To understand mesh casting and mesh core, we first need to understand the radio technology that makes it possible. That technology is called LoRa stands for long range, and it was developed specifically to solve a problem that communications engineers have faced for many years. How can we send information over long distances while using very little power? Most communications systems force us to make a compromise. If we want high speed, we generally need more bandwidth and often more power. If we want long range, we usually have to accept lower data rates. LoRa is designed around that second approach. Instead of transmitting large amounts of information quickly, it sends small amounts of information very efficiently. Think of it this way. A modern fiber optic internet connection is like a multi-lane motorway, carrying enormous volumes of traffic at high speed. LoRa, by comparison, is more like a quiet country lane. It carries much less traffic, but it can often travel surprising distances using very little energy. That makes it ideal for applications where only small amounts of information need to be exchanged. For example, a weather sensor may only need to send a temperature reading every few minutes. A tracking device may only need to report its location occasionally. A messaging network may need to transfer short text messages. These are exactly the kinds of applications LoRa was designed to support. One of the reasons LoRa has become so popular is its remarkable ability to receive weak signals. Radio operators are already familiar with this concept. Weak signal communication has been part of amateur radio for decades. Many digital modes achieve impressive performance by extracting information from signals that may be barely detectable by the human ear. LoRa follows a similar philosophy. By using sophisticated signal processing techniques, LoRa devices can successfully decode signals that would seem surprisingly weak compared to many traditional communication systems. The result is impressive range. Under favorable conditions, LoRa signals can travel many kilometers. Some users have reported distances that would seem almost unbelievable considering the modest power levels involved. Of course, experienced radio operators will immediately recognize an important phrase in that statement, under favorable conditions. As always, radio propagation remains subject to physics. Terrain matters, antenna quality matters, height of ground matters, trees matter, buildings matter, and weather can sometimes matter. No technology can completely escape these realities. A common misconception among newcomers is that LoRa somehow possesses magical properties. It does not. It is an impressive technology, but it still operates according to the same physical laws that govern every other radio system. The reason it performs so well is not because it breaks the rules, but it performs well because it can use those rules efficiently. Another major advantage of LoRa is power consumption. Many LoRa devices can operate for extremely long periods using relatively small batteries. Some portable units can function for days or weeks without recharging. Remote installations may operate for months. Solar-powered nodes can potentially remain active almost indefinitely under suitable conditions. This characteristic has made LoRa particularly attractive for remote monitoring applications. It has also contributed to its popularity among emergency preparedness groups and outdoor enthusiasts. If a device can remain operational during extended power outages, it becomes a much more useful communications tool. For amateur radio operators, this emphasis on efficiency may sound familiar. Many of us have spent years learning how antenna design, operating practices, and propagation knowledge can accomplish far more than simply increasing transmitter power. LoRa embraces that same philosophy. It focuses on doing more with less. However, there is an important limitation that must be understood. LoRa achieves its range partly by sacrificing speed. A LoRa network is not intended for internet browsing. It is not intended for streaming video or transferring large files. Attempting to use LoRa for these purposes would quickly lead to disappointment. Instead, LoRa excels when transmitting small amounts of information such as text messages, position reports, status updates, sensor data, and short communications. When used for those purposes, it performs remarkably well. When used outside its intended role, its limitations become apparent rather quickly. Understanding those strengths and limitations is essential because they influence everything else we will discuss tonight. Meshtastic and Meshcore are successful because they operate within the capabilities of LoRa rather than attempting to force it into roles for which it was never intended. With LoRa understood, we can now examine the next piece of the puzzle. That piece is the concept of mesh networking itself. So, what is a mesh network? The term mesh network appears frequently in discussion about modern communications technologies. Unfortunately, it is also one of the terms that can sound more complicated than it really is. At its heart, a mesh network is actually a very simple concept. Imagine you want to send a message to someone who is too far away to communicate with directly. If another person is standing between the two of you, that person can relay the message. Now imagine several people standing between you and the destination. The message can travel from person to person until it eventually reaches its intended recipient. That, in its simplest form, is a mesh network. Each participant helps move information through the network. Instead of relying upon a single central station, the network relies upon cooperation among many stations. Radio amateurs have been doing similar things for decades. Repeaters represent one example. Packet radio networks represented another. Traffic nets have long depended upon operators relaying information across multiple stations. The underlying concept is hardly new. What makes modern mesh networking interesting is that the process is automated. The devices themselves handle much of the routing and relaying. Users do not need to manually forward messages, and the network attempts to determine how information should move through the system. One advantage of this approach is resilience. Suppose one node disappears. Perhaps it loses power. Perhaps it is moved. Perhaps it simply stops functioning. In a traditional network, losing a critical component may interrupt communications entirely. A mesh network may be able to find an alternative route, however. This characteristic is often described as self-healing. Now, the term self-healing can sometimes sound more impressive than reality. A network cannot produce any routes when none exist. If there are too few nodes available, communications may still fail. Nevertheless, the ability to adapt to changing conditions is a genuine advantage. Another benefit is scalability. A network can grow gradually over time. Each new participant potentially adds coverage and routing opportunities. Communities can build networks incrementally rather than requiring a large infrastructure investment at the outset. This community-driven model is one of the reasons mesh networking has attracted so much attention. People enjoy the idea of contributing to something much larger than themselves. Every new node becomes part of a collective effort. At the same time, mesh networks are not perfect. Additional nodes do not automatically guarantee better performance. Poorly placed nodes may contribute little value. Excessive traffic can create congestion, so network design remains very important. Again, this should sound familiar to experienced radio operators. Successful communication networks rarely happen by accident. They require planning, experimentation, and ongoing refinement. The same is true for mesh networks. As we move forward tonight, you will notice that both Meshtastic and Meshcore attempt to solve these challenges in different ways. Both seek to provide reliable communications. Both seek to make an efficient use of limited radio resources. But their methods differ, and those differences will become an important part of our discussion later this evening. For now, remember three key ideas. LoRa provides the radio technology, mesh networking provides the communication structure, and communities provide the people who make these systems useful. Without all three, either Meshtastic or MeshCore would not exist. Now at this time I would like to ask if we have any check-ins, questions, or comments before we turn to the next narrator.
Hotel America.
Victor Echo 7, Lima Echo.
Okay, I recognize K2HA, that is Fred, and VE7LE. So, we will speak to Fred, K2HA, in Broomall, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Fred, from 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Thank you very much, Declan. This is Fred, K2HA, the happy amateur here in Broomall, Pennsylvania. And we are a little bit south of a county right above us, which is called Montgomery County. And the amateur radio operators there run an emergency data network, a mesh network. And it's interesting. They've been working on it a while, just connecting all the emergency traffic off the grid, but setting up mesh network throughout the county. And it works. So that's one thing. Now, if you want to also mention that the mesh networks are also used in other formats, and that's like Wi-Fi net mesh networks sold by the companies that provide your Wi-Fi. They also sell you a mesh network so that you could have a great communication throughout your home at your node. So it's just interesting how this all works. Thank you. You're doing a fine job in presentation. This is Fred, K2HA.
Okay, thank you very much there, Fred, from 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. Greatly appreciate you coming in and checking in today with that very interesting information there about mesh networks. They can be sold by Wi-Fi companies and offered to provide better communications throughout the house using your node. It's interesting indeed how the mesh networks work. And it definitely does take time to build them up and commitment from the whole community, really. So it is quite impressive to see how mesh networks can sprout out. And it really works brilliantly. I think. So, yeah, very interesting. Thank you very much, Fred. Anything else before I move along? K2HA from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel.
2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. This is Fred, K2HA. Okay, not much. Just want to say hello to everybody on that's listening, and I appreciate this presentation, and I'm willing to learn a lot more as you go along. Thank you, Declan, and thank Dave, your dad, and peace and blessings to everyone. This is Fred, K2HA.
Thank you very much, Fred, and I greatly appreciate you coming in and checking in today. And, thank you very much. Hope you're doing well as well, and I hope to see you continue to enjoy the rest of the presentation. So, we will move along and speak to VE7LE. What comments do you have to make here for this TIN? What would you like to say? Go ahead, VE7LE from 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Good afternoon, Declan. Haven't talked to you for many years. You used to know me on D-Star when I was Victor Echo 7, Lima Echo Echo. But some people thought I should get in a two-letter call, so I got Lima Echo. It saves me a microsecond when setting CW using. So for digital, I use Lima Echo. For analog, I use Lima Echo Echo. when I had been on LoRa for, I don't know, 3 years during time of COVID, but I was on the Helium network on the ISN band 915. So here in the Vancouver, British Columbia area, home of FIFA Cup, a group of us, about 50 local amateurs, have ordered a group order, and we're going to put up some Vistastic solar repeaters up on the roof. I already got my 915 megahertz antenna. So I went and got myself the ThinkNode M5, and I went on Vistastic with a little antenna, but I couldn't make contact with anybody. I have then switched over to Mesh Core, which is very popular here, because in the between Vancouver, Seattle, and Oregon, we have over 1,500 users. Just one moment here. Let me do a reset, VE7LE. Okay, back on here. And so what has happened with Mesh Core, my little device, got kind of swamped. I got over 350 contacts. I'm getting all these messages from Americans, nobody locally, on the public channel. I sent out messages to other people in the States, but I never got a reply yet, so I'm just learning. So I may order some more equipment, and we may run both. When I'm out in the bush, we may run Mistastic, because there's a little difference between Mesh Core and Mistastic. Maybe later on you will explain the difference to people. And so in urban areas, where it's very dense, Mesh Core is better. In the wilderness, where there's far in between, maybe Mistastic may be better because of the way the mesh network is set up. So that's what's happening here in Vancouver. We hope to get all our group order within a month or so. So in the Vancouver area, things are happening on a Mistastic and Mesh Core. Back to you, Declan. Victor Echo 7, Lima Echo.
Okay, Victor Echo 7, Lima Echo from 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel. Well, thank you very much, Lee. I greatly appreciate you coming in and checking in today. It has indeed been a while since I have heard you. Thank you very much for that input. And, we will be going over the differences between Meshtastic and Meshcore as we proceed with the TIN. But of course, I am only narrating the first part of it that really sort of brings us into all these sort of key terms, shall we say. But yeah, it will be covered, the differences between Meshtastic and Meshcore as we proceed with the program. So, thank you very much, and do you have anything else to say before I go ahead and move along? VE7LE from 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
2 Echo 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel, Victor Echo 7, Lima Echo. Well, just like you know, I found out about this net this morning while I was going through Facebook. The reason I'm back on digital, because before I was using handheld radio, I had a D-Star, a C4FM, and a DMR, and I'd be mainly on C4FM since I run a repeater, and DMR. But I just broke down and bought myself a D-Star base station, an ID5100, and I had to buy myself a new hotspot because mine was so old it could not be updated. So this is how I'm able to get on this particular reflector you're on. and because I can now do many more networks on D-Star and participate in more nets. So I'll just stand by, Declan, to see what I can learn about Meshtastic and Mesh Core. This is Victor Echo 7, Lima Echo.
Okay, thank you very much there, Lee, from 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. Very interesting indeed. And, I think Dave, my dad, Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Lima, would be a bit more, would probably have more comments to make about what you have said than I do at this moment. But, thank you very much. And always great to speak to you, and great to hear you, because it's been quite a while. So, thank you very much, and we will just go ahead and put out another call to see if we have any check-ins, questions, or comments at this time to the Thursday Information Net before we proceed. This is 2 Whiskey 0 Kilo Yankee Hotel. Okay, nothing heard. So, let's proceed with the TIN. And the next narrator is here with me, Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima, Dave, also in Newport, South Wales. You may recognize his voice as he was the one who introduced the TIN program for this month. So, over to you, Dave. This is 2 Whiskey 0, Kilo Yankee Hotel.
Okay, this is W8SRL, Dave, over here in Newport, South Wales, and thank you very much for the first part of the program tonight there, Declan. And great to hear you out there, Lee, Victor Echo 7, Lima Echo. It's been absolutely ages, and we will be discussing the differences as there between Meshtastic and Meshcore as well. And your experience of Meshtastic and then going to Meshcore is typical for sure, but great to hear from you, and you've got a good signal coming in via D-Star as well. And if you want to know when we have the nets on this particular network there, Lee, go to scarsvoip.com. Sierra Charlie Alpha Romeo Sierra Victor Oscar India Papa.com. scarsvoip.com. Go on the breaking news page and all the information of different nets. We have this net the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. Eastern. Okay, I'm going to continue on with this evening's program. Okay, we've now established the basic concepts that make Meshtastic and Meshcore possible. We have discussed LoRa technology, we have talked about mesh networking, and we've looked at why people are becoming increasingly interested in independent communication systems. Now, for the next part of tonight's presentation, we're going to look at where these ideas came from, how they evolved over time, and then take a closer look at both Meshtastic and Meshcore individually, before we compare them later in the net. Now, one of the interesting things about technology is that what appears new is often built upon ideas that are surprisingly old. That's certainly true in this case. Mesh networking is not a new idea. When people first encounter Meshtastic or Meshcore, they sometimes assume that mesh networking is a completely modern invention. In reality, the basic concepts have existed for decades. In fact, some of the principles date back to the earliest days of computer networking. During the 1960s, researchers began investigating ways to build communication systems that could survive failures within the network itself. The question was straightforward. If part of a communications network was damaged or became unavailable, could information still find another route to its destination? The concept eventually influenced the development of ARPANET, one of the predecessor networks that ultimately evolved into today's Internet. One of the revolutionary ideas behind those early networks was that information did not necessarily need to follow a single fixed path. Instead, it could travel through different routes depending upon what resources were available at the time. Today, we take that concept for granted Every email, website request, and online video relies on routing decisions happening constantly behind the scenes. At the time, however, it's represented a major shift in thinking. The goal was resilience. If one path failed, another could be used. That same principle remains central to mesh networking today. Amateur radio operators have encountered similar concepts throughout the history of our hobby. Many of us remember packet radio. For newer amateurs, packet radio was one of the earliest forms of digital networking, widely used within amateur radio. Stations could exchange messages, connect to bulletin board systems, and relay information through multiple nodes. In many respects, packet radio was an early demonstration of ideas that modern mesh networks continue to use. Those who were active during the 1980s and 1990s may remember connecting the packet bulletin board systems, sometimes known simply as BBS systems. Messages could be stored, forwarded, and distributed across large areas. Networks of interconnected stations emerged. Operators experimented with routing, forwarding, and digital communications long before smartphones existed. In fact, packet radio is still in use today. For some listeners, Meshtastic may feel remarkably familiar because of those experiences. The technology is newer, the hardware is smaller. The user interfaces are certainly more polished, but some of the underlying concepts would immediately be recognizable to packet radio operators from decades ago. There are also similarities to APRS. Most amateurs are familiar with the automatic packet reporting system. APRS allows stations to exchange location information, short messages, telemetry data, and other information. Like Meshtastic, it creates a network of participating stations. It can provide situational awareness across a wide area. And like Meshtastic, it becomes more useful as participation increases. Of course, APRS and mesh networking are not identical. They were designed for different purposes and uses different technologies. But they share a common philosophy. Both attempt to use radio communications to distribute information efficiently among groups of users. Understanding this history helps place modern mesh networking into context. Meshtastic and MeshCore are not appearing out of nowhere. They are part of a long tradition of experimentation that stretches across computer networking, emergency comms, and amateur radio. What has changed dramatically is accessibility. The equipment is less expensive, and the software is easier to use. And the barrier to entry is lower than ever before. This combination has helped fuel the rapid growth we see today. Now let's turn our attention to the platform that most people encounter first. Over the last several years, Meshtastic has become the most widely adopted LoRa mesh networking platform in the world. Its popularity has grown rapidly, and there are several reasons for that success. First and perhaps most importantly, Meshtastic is designed to be approachable. Many technical projects unintentionally create barriers for newcomers. Meshtastic's developers took a different approach. Their goal was to create something that ordinary users could install and begin using relatively quickly. The result is a system that feels surprisingly modern. Most users interact with Meshtastic through a smartphone application. But once a LoRa device is connected to a phone, the experience resembles a messaging application more than a traditional radio system. Users can see nearby nodes and they can send messages. They can exchange location information and they can monitor activity occurring within the network. This familiarity has helped attract people who may have little or no previous radio experience. A newcomer can often be operational within an hour of receiving their first device. That simplicity should not be underestimated. Historically, many radio technologies have required substantial technical knowledge before meaningful results could be achieved. Meshtastic significantly lowers that barrier. Another factor contributing to its success is hardware availability. Numerous manufacturers produce compatible devices. Many are compact, battery-powered, and relatively inexpensive. Some even include integrated GPS receivers. Others provide environmental monitoring capabilities, and portable operation is common. A user can easily carry a node while hiking, camping, traveling, or participating in community events. Fixed installations are equally common. Some operators install nodes at home. Others place them at elevated locations to improve coverage, and others build solar-powered installations designed to operate continuously. The flexibility of the platform encourages experimentation. Meshtastic also benefits from a very active community. Documentation is extensive, online forums are active, and video tutorials are abundant. When newcomers encounter problems, assistance is usually very easy to find. That community support has been one of Meshtastic's greatest strengths. No technology succeeds purely because of technical features. Communities matter. People are often more willing to experiment when they know help is available, and Meshtastic has successfully cultivated that environment. However, no system is perfect. Meshtastic's greatest strength may also create one of its challenges. Its popularity means networks can become quite large, and as participation grows, network traffic increases. Managing that growth efficiently becomes increasingly important. Now, the developers continue working to address these challenges, but they illustrate a reality faced by every successful communications platform. Growth creates opportunities, but it also creates complexity. Even so, Meshtastic remains a platform most people encounter first when exploring LoRa mesh networking. Its ease of use, large community, and active development have made it a dominant player in this rapidly evolving space. And as Meshtastic grew, some developers began asking an interesting question. Could mesh networking be made more efficient? Could messages move through the network with fewer unnecessary transmissions, and could larger networks be supported more effectively? Those questions helped inspire projects such as MeshCore. MeshCore shares many similarities with Meshtastic. Both use LoRa radios. Both create decentralized communications networks. Both allow users to exchange messages without requiring internet access, and both emphasize community participation. Yet, the design philosophy differs in important ways. Where Meshtastic often prioritizes simplicity and accessibility, MeshCore places greater emphasis on routing, intelligence, and efficiency. Rather than relying heavily on message flooding, MeshCore attempts to make more informed decisions regarding how messages move through the network. This may reduce unnecessary retransmissions and improve scalability. For technically minded users, this approach can be very appealing. MeshCore offers opportunities to explore concepts such as network topology, routing strategies, and optimization techniques. Some amateur radio operators find these topics particularly fascinating because they combine radio communications with computer networking principles. However, sophistication often comes with trade-offs. A more advanced system can be more challenging to understand. New users may face a steeper learning curve. Documentation and support resources continue to expand, but they remain smaller than those available for Meshtastic users. That does not mean that MeshCore is better or worse. It simply reflects a different set of priorities. Some users prefer systems that work immediately with minimal effort. Others enjoy understanding every detail of how a network functions. MeshCore tends to appeal strongly to this second group. Now, one interesting aspect of MeshCore is the enthusiasm of its user community. Although smaller, the community is highly engaged. Many participants enjoy experimenting, testing new ideas, and exploring advanced networking concepts. This culture of experimentation closely mirrors traditions that have long existed within amateur radio. In some respects, MeshCore feels less like a finished consumer product and more like an ongoing technical project. For many experimenters, that is precisely what makes it attractive. As with Meshtastic, development continues. New features are introduced. Existing features are refined, and users continue exploring what is possible. What remains clear is that MeshCore has established itself as a serious alternative within the growing world of LoRa mesh networking. Okay, this is GW8-ZL. Looking for any check-ins, questions, or comments for this section, or the previous one for that matter. This is GW8-ZL.
VK2 Delta Yankee.
Okay, that control recognizes VK2 DY. Is there anybody else?
Yes, GW8-ZL, VK2 DY, Robert in northwestern Sydney, where it's currently 18 degrees Celsius and overcast, but it's really rather pleasant for almost the shortest day of the year, which is Sunday. Anyway, thank you so much, Dave, for this introduction, and Declan. This first time I've really heard much about mesh networking. It does remind me a lot of the early days of computer science and a lot of the development of the Internet. I'll do some more studying. I'll see if there's people here who are involved with some sort of mesh network. I'm sure there are. I'm just not sure about this part of Sydney. But anyway, thank you, Dave. I can't add anything until I learn more. But thank you for introducing this VK2DY.
Yeah, VK2DY from GW8SL. Okay there, Robert, no problems at all, and on your 18 degrees C and overcast. Well, we've got the 17.9 C here at the moment, 64.2 Fahrenheit, but we are at midnight plus 46, so we've just gone past quarter of the one in the morning here. But there is a mapping system where actually nodes can appear on if they're turned on in the software. I don't have the URL to hand at the moment, but I can drop you an email with it anyway. So no problems at all there, Robert. And I've heard loads of discussions on the air and totally off-grid. I don't have to be licensed. It's on non-licensed frequencies. You can have it actually on AM radio bands as well. But I've heard so much discussed so many times in the query, what's the difference between MeshTastic and MeshCore? I thought we'd give it a go for the TIN. Anything further there, Robert? VK2DY, GW8SZL.
VK2SZL, VK2DY. No thanks, Dave, but thank you very much again for the information. VK2DY.
Yeah, VK2DY from GW8SZL. Okay there, Robert. I got a mesh core node across the other side of the Bristol Channel. It's line of sight with me, and there's one MeshTastic user that I could actually connect to direct. And being the technically oriented person that I am, I'm definitely going to give the mesh core side of it a bit of a bashing, shall we say. Okay, is there anybody else who'd like to check in, got any questions or comment at this time?
K2HA.
Oh,
Golf Mike Zero, Uniform Bravo.
Okay, this is W8SL. Thank you very much there, gentlemen. I got the Fred, K2HA. Matt, KC8FQV, you were dropping in and out. I got only managed to pick your call sign out on the dashboard there. And, of course, Graham up there in Alloa in central Scotland, Golf Mike Zero, Uniform Bravo. So I'll work my way down the list. Let's go to Fred in Broomall, Pennsylvania. K2HA, W8SL. Go ahead there, Fred.
Thank you, Dave. GW8SZL, this is K2HA. I checked Sydney, Australia, and there is a big network there. It's called Mesh Sydney, and apparently they use Mesh Core. And so it says it's a community-driven, built and maintained by the community. It says, join us in creating a free, open communication infrastructure for Sydney and beyond. And it covers an area considerably beyond Sydney on their map. Okay, just wanted to say hello. And it's great hearing Robert and Mark coming in there. And, of course, Graham. That's fantastic. This is Fred, K2HA.
K2HA from GW8SNO. Thank you for looking that one up there, Fred. So I had a look at my local area, and I definitely would go for mesh core because of the technical side of things and the routing and the intelligence routing and all that. And that goes with what Lee, Victor Echo 7, Lima Echo, was mentioning with Meshtastic. You know, if you've got somebody close to you, that's fine, and you've got to have somebody else and then somebody else. But MeshCore's got the routing behind it, and the development that's going on in the background is quite substantial. I know Meshtastic has got a really, really massive following. That's okay if you've got everybody sort of around using it locally. MeshCore is the one that I am seriously looking at. And of course, you can use frequencies that are not actually in the ham bands as well, so it makes it a true, shall we say, community project, especially in terms of, disaster and that kind of thing. I can't remember the actual frequencies up more. 915 megahertz is one. As you say, you can use Wi-Fi as well. There are designated frequencies. They're non-licensed frequencies. Different ones in the States, I think, as well. I think 868 or something like that, I think, might be in the UK. It's 915. But I don't have that information in front of me at the moment. But sounds very, very interesting setup, that's for sure. Back to you there, Fred, in case you've got anything further. K2HA, GW8SZL.
GW8SZL, this is Fred, K2HA. Well, the fascinating thing is how energy efficient this type of communication is, and how small the transmitters and receivers are. And you can carry them with you backpacking, and just slip them in your pocket, and just amazing. Thank you for the presentation. This is Fred, K2HA.
K2HA from GW8SNL. No problems at all there, Fred, and thanks for popping in. And I haven't actually say I got the actual URL of the map. I didn't actually add it as a shortcut on my desktop. I will be having a little look in different areas around the world to see how, around major cities mainly, to see how many people are actually using it. But thank you very much there again, Fred, for popping in. Let's go and see if we can pick up our good friend Mark, KC8FQV. As I said, Mark, your first transmission was very, very broken, and I thought it was your voice, but I confirmed it by looking at the dashboard, so hope you got a better signal this time, my friend. Give it another go, KC8FQV from GW8SZL.
All right, KSF, can I just say good evening? Yep, I've seen so many of the mesh core stuff, and it is a little bit boggling, right? Like, what exactly you do with it, because it's not a lot happening. I know there's a lot happening with it, but it just takes a little bit figuring exactly all the things it does do. But yeah, we're over at club meeting. I had the earbuds on, I'm going to put them back on and go back and listen with the other ear. So, and I'll listen to the podcast later on when it gets posted and published. Yeah, it's published. Now it happens. It has to get published so we can listen to it. Okay, KCFQV, back it comes.
KC8FQV from GW8SZL. Okay there, Mark. It'll probably be Saturday. I'll put a direct link up on the website anyway, so probably be Saturday because Sue's got some medical appointments tomorrow. Okay, it is a very interesting topic, and the Meshtastic's community behind it is absolutely, as I said, phenomenal. I was surprised. MeshCore, not so much, but it's a more technical approach, more for the experimenters. Okay, thanks for being there, Mark, and we'll talk to you again very soon indeed. Let's go come a little bit closer to home, at least this side of the pond, and talk to Graham, GM0UUB, and say hi to Helen, Queen of Scotland, for me as well, from GW8SZL.
Well, thank you so much, Dave, and hey, listen, I'm just about to go into another sneeze. Hang on. Goodness me. Okay, I've held that off, but I don't want to sneeze in the microphone, so just in case, if I do unkey very, very quickly, It just means it's come upon me and I have not got any kind of a control. But I'm good. I'm good. Thank you, Dave. This is GM0UUB. And I've been listening, and great to hear Declan there, and yourself there, Dave, and all the kind of mesh core, mesh tastic, everything else. I'm trying to get my head around that and all together. But of course, I always say, well, I'm glad you're on board as one of our main admins on the International Radio Network. Because I suppose my question would be, with the IRN, what we do and all the rest, does all this mesh core, mesh plastic, and everything else? And should we get back on? Should we get on board with that and flagship some of the developments and everything else? I'm not too sure, but I'm just glad you're on our board. So, Dave, I'll be relying on you to guide me, and it'd be wonderful if the IRN can kind of. Push things forward, but I am not, personally, I am just learning and learning and listening and learning and listening and listening and listening more. So there we go. But apart from that, Dave, nothing much more to report. I've set up my Anytone radio here for All-Star. So there we go. I'm not using my E-suit. Just thought I'd mention that. Just for a wee change, why not? A change is as good as, what do they say? Oh, I can't remember. Right tonight, GM0UUB.
GM0UUB from GW8SZL. Okay there, Graham. And we'll be putting this up as a podcast as well. So you can play it back probably most likely on Saturday. It'll be up there. I'll drop you a Telegram message when it's there anyway. So you can play it back and listen to it again then as many times as you want. So no problems there. I'll have to give Meshtastic, Mesh Core, that'd probably be Mesh Core if that were, for the International Radio Network. But we'll have to have a little think about that one. Okay there, Graham, do you have anything further at this time?
Oh, thank you, Dave. And nothing further right now, but if you just give me a wee kind of check on the audio that's coming across, because, like I say, I've always used my Yesu radio to go through my All-Star nodes, and, today I just kind of set up the Anytone radio, so just thought, just for a change, why not? And, of course, tomorrow, for anybody that's interested in checking in with the IRN KB1 multimode net, of course tomorrow is the build-up, of course, to our second match in the FIFA World Cup for Scotland. We'll be playing Morocco, and I'll tell you, that's going to be something else, goodness me. And apparently the Scottish fans, the Tartan Army, have taken over Boston, and they drunk all the bars dry, and they given lots of stuff to for charity and everything else. Oh man, the Tartan Army are doing us proud across there in the United States, that's for sure. But there we go, I'm well off topic, so back to you, sir. GW8SNL from GM0UUB. Thank you, Dave.
GM0UUB from GW8SNL. No problems there, Graham. I did check the audio level. It's perfect. Don't change a thing. It sounds great. It sounds like exactly like you are, and we're in person there, shall we say. So no problems whatsoever. Anyway, thanks for being there, Graham, and we'll talk to you again. Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Tomorrow evening. And we did hear about the Tartan Army and Boston running out of, strong man drinks, as Sean says. Okay, I'll say 73 to Graham, GM0UUB. Is there anybody else who'd like to check in at the moment? Because if not, I'll pass it on to the next narrator. This is W8SZL. Okay, nothing heard. Next up, we've got Chief W4RFJ, Whiskey 4, Romeo, Foxtrot, Juliet. This is W8SZL. Are you out there, Chief? W4RFJ, Whiskey 4, Romeo, Foxtrot, Juliet. You out there, Chief, from GW8SZL. W4RFJ from GW8SZL. Okay, I can't see Chief connected anywhere, and there's no messages in the Echolink text box either. One more call for Chief. W4RFJ, GW8SZL. Okay, nothing heard. Hope Chief is okay. I'll continue with Chief section there. All right, where are we? Okay, so far we have looked at the origins of mesh networking, examined the technology that makes it possible, and explored the two platforms that currently attract the most attention within the LoRa mesh networking world. We have learned that MeshTastic and MeshCore share many common goals. Both seek to provide decentralized communications. Both use LoRa radios. Both operate without requiring cellular network or internet access. And both encourage users to build and expand networks through community participation. The obvious question now becomes this. If they are so similar, what are the actual differences? And that is what we'll examine next. One of the most common questions asked by newcomers is whether they should choose MeshTastic or MeshCore. The answer, perhaps frustratingly, is that it depends on what the user hopes to achieve. This is not unlike asking whether a person should use HF or VHF. Both are radio technologies and both are valuable. Yet each excels in different situations. MeshTastic's greatest strength is accessibility. It is relatively easy to install, configure, and begin using. The documentation is extensive, the user community is very large, and video tutorials are plentiful. And perhaps most importantly, there's a good chance that if someone nearby is already operating a LoRa mesh network, they are probably using MeshTastic. This creates the network effect. The more users the platform attracts, the more attractive it becomes to additional users. People naturally gravitate towards systems where they can easily find other participants. Now, MeshCore takes a somewhat different approach. Its primary focus is efficiency. The developers have invested considerable effort into reducing unnecessary transmissions and improving routing behavior. Now, for technically minded operators, this is a fascinating territory. The network attempts to make smarter decisions regarding how messages move through the system. In smaller networks, the difference may not be obvious. In larger networks, however, routing efficiency becomes increasingly important. Every transmission consumes airtime. Every unnecessary transmission contributes to congestion. And as networks expand, efficiency matters more and more. Some users compare the situation to road traffic. A small village may function perfectly well without sophisticated traffic management, but a major city requires considerably more planning. The same concept applies to communications networks. Another difference involves community culture. MeshTastic often attracts users looking for practical communication tools. Many participants simply want something that works. They appreciate ease of use and straightforward operation. MeshCore, on the other hand, tends to attract experimenters who enjoy understanding how systems function beneath the surface. These users often enjoy testing, analyzing, and optimizing network behavior. Neither approach is right or wrong. They simply appeal to different interests. In reality, many operators experiment with both platforms. Doing so provides valuable insight into how different networking philosophies approach similar challenges. Now, for amateur radio operators, this kind of experimentation is familiar territory. We have long compared antennas, digital modes, propagation techniques, and operating practices. Comparing MeshTastic and MeshCore is simply another example of the same spirit of technical curiosity. Now, whenever discussions about mesh networking occur online, it is common to see considerable attention focused on software. People discuss firmware versions, they compare features, and they debate routing strategies. All of these topics are important, However, experienced radio operators usually recognize something immediately. Software matters, but physics matters even more. No amount of software sophistication can completely compensate for poor radio conditions. A poorly placed antenna will remain a poorly placed antenna, regardless of the firmware being used. This is one of the first lessons many newcomers encounter. Someone purchases a node, and they install the latest software. They configure every available setting, and then they discover the performance is very disappointing. The problem often turns out to be surprisingly simple. The antenna is indoors, or the antenna is too low, or it's blocked by surrounding buildings. Radio operators understand these challenges instinctively because we've been dealing with them for generations. Height matters, location matters, antenna quality matters, and terrain matters. These principles apply just as strongly to LoRa networks as they do to traditional amateur radio systems. Many experienced users report that their most significant performance improvements came not from changing software settings, but improving antenna installations. Moving an antenna a few meters higher can sometimes produce dramatic results. Relocating a node to an elevated position may transform an unusable path into a reliable one. The same is true for community networks. A strategically placed node on a hilltop, tall building, or tower can provide benefits far beyond what its modest transmitter power might suggest. This should sound very familiar to anyone who has worked with repeaters. Location often matters more than power. Another topic worth discussing is range. One of the reasons LoRa attracts attention is the impressive distances sometimes reported. Stories occasionally appear describing communications over tens or even hundreds of kilometers. These reports are often genuine. However, context matters. Extraordinary distances usually involve excellent locations, favorable terrain, high elevations, and carefully optimized installations. The average user operating from a ground-level urban environment should not expect identical results. Now, this is not a criticism of LoRa. The same principle applies throughout radio communications. A VHF handheld radio may achieve a few kilometers in one environment and hundreds of kilometers under unusual propagation conditions. Understanding the difference between typical performance and exceptional performance helps establish realistic expectations. Battery life is another major advantage. Because LoRa devices consume relatively little power, portal operation becomes practical. Many users carry nodes during hiking trips, camping, excursions, or outdoor events. Others deploy solar-powered stations that remain active continuously. These capabilities have contributed significantly to the popularity of mesh networking. The combination of long battery life, modest hardware costs, and reasonable range creates opportunities that would have been difficult to achieve only a few years ago. Now, whenever independent communication systems are discussed, emergency communications inevitably become part of the conversation. Meshtastic and MeshCore are no exception. Supporters often highlight their potential usefulness during emergencies. There is certainly merit to this. If conventional communications infrastructure becomes unavailable, an existing mesh network may provide a means of exchanging information. Neighborhood groups could share status updates. Volunteers could coordinate activities. Families might exchange brief messages. Preparedness organizations could maintain situational awareness. These are all reasonable applications. The key phrase, however, is an existing mesh network. A network cannot appear instantly during an emergency. Like amateur radio, successful operation depends upon preparation. Equipment must be available. Participants must understand how to use it, and coverage must already exist. Now, this mirrors a long-standing principle within emergency communications. Systems that are used regularly before an emergency are generally far more effective during an emergency. Another important consideration involves bandwidth. LoRa networks excel at exchanging small amounts of information. Short messages work well, status reports work well, and location information works well. Large data transfers do not, Voice communication is generally not their intended purpose. Understanding these limitations is important. No single communications technology solves every problem. And the strongest emergency communication plans use multiple systems. And with the radio, public safety network, satellite communications, internet-based services, and mesh networking can all contribute. Each has strengths and each has weaknesses. Together, they provide resilience. Many experienced emergency communicators describe this as a layered approach. If one system fails, another one remains available. Mesh networking fits naturally within that philosophy. Before concluding this section, it is worth addressing a few misconceptions that frequently appear whenever mesh networking is discussed. And one of the common myths is that mesh-tastic or mesh-core will replace amateur radio. And this seems very unlikely indeed. The technologies serve different purposes. Voice communication, long-distance HF operation, contesting, satellite work, emergency communications, experimentation, and countless other amateur radio activities remain entirely separate pursuits. And a second misconception that is out there is that every message always reaches its destination. As radio operators know, no communication system is perfect. Coverage gaps exist, interference exists, equipment fails, and networks become congested. Mesh networking improves resilience, but it does not guarantee success. And a third misconception is that adding more nodes automatically improves performance. In reality, poorly planned growth can create challenges. Additional traffic may increase congestion, and poorly placed nodes may contribute little benefit. Network design remains very important. And finally, there is a myth that LoRa somehow defies the laws of physics. As attractive as that idea may sound, it is simply not true. LoRa performs well because it uses spectrum efficiently. It does not eliminate the importance of antennas, terrain height, or propagation. Understanding these realities helps users become more effective operators and build much more successful networks. Okay, this is GW8SZL. Looking for any further check-ins, questions, or comments at this time. If you'd like to check in, ask a question, or any comments, please call now.
This is K2HA.
K2HA from GW8SZL. Go ahead there, Fred.
Very good, Dave. This is Fred, K2HA. We want to thank you for putting together this presentation. Very interesting choice. Thank you very much. And just a comment about the LoRa system. LoRa system is built on spread spectrum technology, which goes back back into the 1900s, and it is that's I'm trying to remember the name of the lady who developed that, and it's escaped my mind right now. But that's a very, very old technology. This is Fred, K2HA.
K2HA from GW8SZR. I think you might have been thinking of Hedy Lamarr. Fred, is that the person you're thinking about? Go ahead.
You are correct, Dave. Thank you very, very much. And I see that Sondar has just jumped on the list there. Maybe you could pick him up if you have a chance. This is Fred, K2HA.
Yeah, okay there, Fred, from GW8SZL. Yeah, in the past, on Hedy Lamarr Day, I was one of the net controllers there. And there's loads of information about Hedy Lamarr out there. And yes, it's I could send you a link to all that information that we used for the Hedy Lamarr Day net network. Quite a few of them, actually. If I remember in the morning. Okay, anything further, Fred? And then we'll go and have a chat with Sondar Levick, the Uniform 2 Mike Delta Alpha. K2HA, anything further first? From GW8SZL.
Okay, this is Fred K, 2HA. Thank you, Dave. And thank you, Declan and Sue in the background there. Thanks to the Hamily working together to support the SCARS network. And it was great hearing everybody check in. And I want to thank you. Great topic, and thank you for putting it together. This is Fred, K2HA.
Okay there, Fred, and thanks for your support there and as well for and just what you do for the SCARS network. Okay, I'm going to give Sonda a shout and see if you'd like to pop in and check in. Oh, if you've been listening along, has you got any comments about Meshtastic or Meshcore? If not, don't worry, just pop in and say hello there, Sonda. Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima.
Hi, good evening all. Good evening, Mr. Dale. Good evening, Mr. Fred. Good evening, all my friends and distributors on this SCARS digital platform on Echolink. Thank you very much, sir, for letting me in, recognize me, letting me in for a regular check-in on this platform. All of you coming here as usual, fine-line blasting, thundering like local station in my native city, Coimbatore, Undipudor, South India, all going good here. Hopefully a wonderful weekend is nearing. You are enjoying your Thursday evening there in U.S. Yeah, here Indian Standard Time around nearing 5:50 Friday morning. Temperature right now reads 76 degree fast touch. It will move 100 plus during 12 noon to 3 p.m. usually. But as far as forecast is concerned, southwest monsoon already started here, but no rain at all for expectation. All going good here, sir. All going good here. Birds are singing behind me. Yes, I am walking mode. Started my walking session. After finishing my walking session, going to do some breathing exercises like pranayam, bhastriya, and satkriya. And finally finishing my yoga session, going to prepare Lipton tea along with clove, ginger and mint for all of us. I welcome all of you to have a cup of tea in my kitchen at Coimbatore from India. Welcome to India, sir. Mic back to Mr. Dev. Today's mic control, I think so. This is Sector 182, Mic Delta Alpha Sounder from India. Walking by.
Yeah, Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha from Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. You got the name correct there, Sonda. It's Dave. I'm over here in Newport, South Wales in the UK. And yeah, your tea there sounds absolutely lovely. And if we do make it to India, and we'll certainly drop you an email and arrange a time to pop in and have a cup of tea there with you. That's for sure. Okay there, Sonda. We currently got, if I call up the right screen... Where are we? There we go. We currently got 64.6 Foxtrot. That's 18.1 Charlie. But it is 1:21 a.m. in the morning, so we're into Friday morning as well there, Sonda. Do you have anything further, my friend? Victor Uniform 2, Mike Delta Alpha. This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Okay, nothing here. Any further information from Sonda? Okay, so we're going to continue with the South Cars Thursday information net. Let's see if Greg is out there. The alien life form. My good friend Greg. Kilo Echo 5, Alpha Lima Foxtrot. From GW8SZL.
GW8SDL, KE5LL. Good evening. I took the dog outside for a minute and I came back in and you were still talking. I was expecting to hear Roger's voice. I don't know what happened, but anyway, let's go on. Throughout tonight's presentation, we have explored the origins of mesh networking, examined Lua technology, discussed the development of Meshtastic and Meshcore, compared with approaches, and considered their practical applications. For this final section, we'll look at how these systems relate to amateur radio, discuss some of the legal and regulatory considerations involved, examine how successful community mesh networks are built, and finally consider what the future may hold for this rapidly developing area of communications. One of the reasons this topic has generated such interest with amateur radio circles is that many operators immediately recognize familiar themes: experimentation, technical learning, community cooperation, and independent communications. These contacts have been part of amateur radio for generations. Whenever a new communications technology appears, there's often a period during which people debate whether it represents a threat, an opportunity, or simply another tool. Amateur radio has experienced this many times before. When repeaters first became popular, some operators questioned whether they would fundamentally change the hobby. When packet radio emerged, there were debates about digital communications. The same occurred with APRS, DSAR, DMR, and FT8, internet-linked repeaters, software-defined radios, and many other innovations. Over time, most of these technologies found their place. Rather than replacing existing activities, they expanded the range of possibilities available to operators. Messtatic and Mescore may ultimately follow a similar path. At first glance, these systems appear quite different from traditional amateur radio. Their user interfaces often resemble smartphone applications. Messages are exchanged digitally, their equipment is compact and inexpensive, and many users have little to or no amateur radio experience. Yet beneath the surface, there are many familiar elements. Both amateur radio and mesh networking encourage experimentation. Both reward technical curiosity. Both involve learning about antennas, propagation, power management, radio systems, and both depend heavily on community participation. And perhaps most importantly, both promote the idea that individuals can build communication systems rather than simply consuming services provided by others. That concept lies at the heart of amateur radio. Historically, radio amateurs have often been among the first to experiment with new communication techniques. Many technologies that later became commonplace were initially explored by hobbyists and researchers. Mesh networking may represent another example of that tradition. Some radio clubs have already begun incorporating mesh networking and demonstrations into meetings and field events. Others have established community mesh networks alongside existing repeater systems. These projects often attract individuals who might never have considered amateur radio previously. They may be one of the most significant opportunities presented by mesh networking. It serves as a gateway. Someone who becomes interested in LURA, networking, antennas, and radio propagation may eventually become interested in amateur radio as well. The two communities have much to learn from one another. Amateur radio offers decades of experience in communications, infrastructure, and operating practices. Mesh networking communities bring fresh perspectives, software development, expertise, and modern network concepts. Together, they create opportunities for innovation and learning. Of course, not everyone agrees on how closely these activities should be connected. Some view mesh networking as entirely separate from amateur radio. Others see it as a natural extension of amateur experimentation. Other people may hold different opinions. What is difficult to dispute, however, is that both communities share a genuine interest in communications technology. And that common ground provides a soft foundation for future collaboration. As mass networking has grown in popularity, discussions about privacy and security have become increasingly common. This is hardly surprising. Modern users have become accustomed to communication systems that provide varying degrees of privacy and security. When people begin using radio-based messaging systems, questions naturally arise. Who can see the messages? How secure are they? What regulations apply? The answers depend largely upon how and where the systems are being used. Radio communications have always existed within legal and regulatory frameworks. Different countries allocate spectrum differently. Different services operate under different rules. Amateur radio, for example, generally emphasizes openness and transparency. In many jurisdictions, encrypted radio amateur communications are either restricted or prohibited. The rationale is that amateur radio exists partially as a self-regulating service. Operators are expected to be able to monitor and understand transmissions occurring within the bands. Other radio services may operate under different requirements. Users must understand the regulations that apply within their own countries and frequency allocations. This is one area where responsible operation becomes particularly important. Technology often evolves faster than regulations. As new systems emerge, users sometimes find themselves navigating questions that regulators may not have fully anticipated. The best approach is usually a cautious and informed one. Learn the rules, understand the limitations, and operate responsibly. Security is another topic frequently discussed. No communication system is completely immune to misuse. As networks grow, developers must consider authentication, reliability, and resilience against unintended behavior. Most Methodstatic and MeshCore communities continue exploring ways to improve security while maintaining the openness that has contributed to their success. For amateur radio operators, these discussions may sound familiar. Questions regarding transparency and responsible operations have existed throughout the history of communications. Mesh networking simply provides a modern context in which those discussions continue. One of the most interesting aspects of mesh networking is that successful networks are rarely the results of a single individual. Instead, they emerge throughout cooperation. In many ways, building a mesh network resembles building a repeater network. Success depends upon people. Technology certainly matters, but people matter more. A single node can be useful. 2 nodes can communicate. 10 nodes become forming a network. 50 nodes might create something far more substantial. Coverage grows as participation grows. The first challenge is often identifying suitable locations. Experienced radio operators immediately understand the importance of elevation. A node placed on a hilltop, tower, or tall building may contribute far more to network performance than several nodes operating at ground level. This principle is universal throughout radio communications. Height is often one of the most valuable resources available. Power is another consideration. Many community nodes operate continuously, and that requires reliable energy sources. Some installations may rely upon main electricity, and others use battery backup systems. Solar-powered nodes have become increasingly common, particularly in remote locations. The low power requirements of LURA make such installations practical. Community participation is equally important. Successful networks typically involve individuals willing to host equipment, perform maintenance, share technical knowledge, and assist newcomers. The strongest networks often develop because participants enjoy the process itself. They enjoy solving problems, they enjoy experimenting, and they enjoy working together. This should sound very familiar to anyone involved in amateur radio clubs or repeater groups. The technical infrastructure is important, but the human infrastructure is often what determines long-term success. Many of the communities have discovered that building a mesh network creates more than communications coverage. It also creates relationships. People who collaborate on technical projects often develop friendships and partnerships that extend far beyond the original objective. They may be one of the most valuable outcomes of all. Perhaps one of the most interesting questions raised by mesh networking is what lessons amateur radio can learn from its rapid growth. The popularity of mesh static has surprised many observers. Thousands of users have become involved in a relatively short period of time. Why? Part of the answer appears to be accessibility. The hardware is affordable, the software is approachable, and the learning curve is manageable. Users often achieve success quickly, and this is important. People are more likely to remain engaged when they experience early success. Another factor is community. The MeshStatic and MeshCore communities are highly active. Newcomers are welcomed, questions are answered, ideas are shared, and experimentation is encouraged. These are strengths that amateur radio has traditionally possessed as well. The challenge for all technical hobbies is maintaining those qualities as communities evolve. A third lesson involves modern user experience. Many mesh networking platforms place considerable emphasis on usability. Applications are designed to be intuitive. Configuration processes are simplified, and documentation is readily available. These features help attract new participants. Amateur radio organizations may find value in considering how similar approaches could help engage future generations of operators. Finally, mesh networking reminds us of the importance of experimentation. Technology continues changing. New ideas continue emerging. The willingness to explore these ideas has always been one of the amateur radio's greatest strengths. Maintaining that spirit of curiosity will remain important in the years ahead. As we approach the end of tonight's presentation, it is worth considering that the future might hold. Predicting technological developments is always risky. History is filled with confident predictions that turn out to be completely wrong. Nevertheless, several trends seem clear. Interest is decentralized. Communications continues to grow. More people are becoming aware of infrastructure dependence. Preparedness and resilience remain important topics. Low-cost hardware continues improving. Software development continues advancing, and community networks continue to expand. Whether mesh static remains dominant, whether mesh core gains broader adoption, or whether an entirely new platform emerges remains impossible to know. Technology rarely stands still. What seems certain is that experimentation will continue. New ideas will appear, and existing systems will evolve. Communities will continue exploring what is possible. For amateur radio operators, this should be viewed as encouraging rather than threatening. Innovation has always been part of our tradition, but the underlying spirit remains remarkably consistent. People remain fascinated by communication. People remain curious about technology, and people continue finding new ways to connect with one another. Mesh networking is simply the latest chapter in that ongoing story. Curious about tech. This evening we have examined the foundations of LURA technology, explored the concept of mesh networking, discussed the origins and development of mesh static and mesh core, compared their strengths, weaknesses, considered emergency communication applications, and explored their relationship with amateur radio. We have seen that these systems are neither magic or meaningless. They are tools, and like all tools, they possess strengths and limitations. Used appropriately, they can provide valuable capabilities. Used unrealistically, they can lead to disappointment. Perhaps the most important lesson is that communication resilience rarely comes from any signal technology. Instead, it comes from diversity. The more options available, the more likely communication remains possible when circumstance becomes challenging. For radio amateurs, that principle has always been familiar, and it remains just as relevant today. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are heading toward the close of tonight's program. Do we have any further check-ins, questions, or comments before we close this evening? If so, come on board.
Romeo Foxtrot Juliet.
W4RFJ from KD5AOF. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. First of all, my apologies. I've been having network problems all day today, and finally got it squared away. But anyway, I'm a little confused about this uptake in mesh communications. You know, amateurs have got so many other different ways of inexpensively networking. My endeavor is toward amateur radio, using the amateur radio bands, not the Part 15 900 meg band for mesh communications, where anybody and anybody can actually access my ham radio network. So that's where my only disagreement with mesh is, but other than that, outstanding script as always. And sorry I couldn't be here. This is W4RFJ, back to net.
Yeah, I wonder what happened to you. I took the dog outside to come back in, and Dave was still talking. I thought I was supposed to be hearing the chief's voice. But sorry about your network, but appreciate you coming on board anyway. Okay, let's try it one more time. Is there anybody else out there that... has any check-ins, questions, or comments before we close this evening? If so, come on board. All right. If anyone has any suggestions for a topic for the Thursday Information Net, please email us at VOIP at scarsvoip.com. This has been SCARS VOIP. Net schedules and general information may be found on our website at SCARS, SCARSVOIP.com. This is Greg, Kilo Echo 5, Alpha Lima Foxtrot, your resident alien, saying good night to one and all and returning the service back to normal use.